Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put his people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your ways prosperous, and you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Holy God, send your Spirit upon us, that as our scripture has been read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what it is you have to say to us this day. Amen. A million years ago, well, maybe 15 or something, during some vacation Bible school or another that I was a part of, we learned a song that was Be Strong and Courageous, and it went something like, I don't know. That's all I remember. But it was something like, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. That's all I remember. Anyway, that always goes through my head every time I hear about Joshua and these words from the Lord. Be strong and courageous. You know, sometimes I think of being courageous as being without fear. But upon consulting the dictionary, I remember that courage is actually the ability to do something that frightens you, or making the choice to confront agony, pain, danger, uncertainty, or intimidation. As Joshua takes up this commission to lead the Israelites after the death of Moses, God speaks to him about what is to come, and he says over and over and over again, be strong and courageous, only be strong and courageous. So why is God so insistent on this courage stuff? I mean, it seems like Moses did all the hard work, right? I mean, that has been the story of the scriptures of this whole sermon series, walking with Moses from the very beginning, remembering that it was Moses that put his neck on the line with Pharaoh. It was Moses that led the Israelites across the Red Sea. It was Moses that shepherded the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years and led them all up right to the edge of the promised land before dying. So really, what is there left for Joshua to do? Shouldn't he be able to sit back and reap the rewards of Moses' hard work? And what about grief? Joshua seems shoved into this new role. Moses passes the mantle to him right before he dies. Does Joshua not get a moment to pause, to breathe, to grieve the loss of his beloved leader before taking the mantle on himself? In this moment where God is speaking to Joshua and telling him to be strong and courageous, God is telling Joshua that the work is not done. Even in the promised land, there are obstacles and challenges to be faced. There are hardships still ahead, and Joshua needs to be strong and courageous to be able to face them and lead the Israelites through them. God tells Joshua that even though they've reached the destination, the journey isn't over. Reverend Jamie Lee mentioned in our prayer time that we lift up the death, the life of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. One of my clergy friends on Facebook reminded me of this particular quote yesterday, as so many people were posting in honor of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And this one quote she said during one of her dissenting votes on the Supreme Court. The great man who led the march from Selma to Montgomery and there called for the passage of the Voting Rights Act foresaw progress even in Alabama. The arc of the moral universe is long, he said, but it bends towards justice. And then she added, if there is a steadfast commitment to see that task through to completion. So Martin Luther King Jr. said, the arc of the moral universe is long and it bends towards justice. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg added, if there is a steadfast commitment to see the task through to completion. Now, I don't know about you, but in the past day or so, I've read lots of articles honoring the notorious RBG. I'm sure many of you did as well. And Frieda Giddes, a world affairs columnist and analyst, wrote this. Ginsburg had plenty of experience with sex discrimination when she devised the brilliant strategy that would propel her career and change all of our lives. Instead of directly arguing for the rights of women, she would show the courts that sex discrimination was also harmful to men. She represented a single man who was denied a tax deduction for taking care of his mother, who was his dependent because the law expected caretakers to be women. It was a landmark sex discrimination case. Many more would come. Ginsburg went on to join the American Civil Liberties Union, and before long she was in court repeatedly challenging entrenched stereotypes, dismantling a system that made it possible to deny fair salaries and opportunities to women. She turned the 14th Amendment, the equal protection promise of the Constitution, into a tool for improving the lives of women. She convinced the courts that women should be regarded as persons in equal stature to men. Ruth Bader Ginsburg's work changed the world for everyone, not just women. In her chambers at the Supreme Court, she hung art inscribed with the biblical words from Deuteronomy, justice, justice you shall pursue. And justice, justice she pursued for everyone. Man, it's been a year, 2020, so many things, among a variety of other lists that you could make. We have lost important civil rights leaders this year. Was it just a month or two ago that we remembered John Lewis? Just this last month, we heard that Reverend Gil Caldwell, who was a United Methodist pastor and right before his retirement pastored at Park Hill UMC here in Denver, a beloved leader in the United Methodist Church, and one that marched with Martin Luther King Jr. back in the day. He passed away, and now Ruth Bader Ginsburg. They have each, along with countless others, fought relentlessly, courageously, and faithfully for the rights and inclusion of all persons. So what's left for us to do? Shouldn't we be able to reap the rewards of their hard work? And what about grief? Can we not just take a moment to breathe and reflect and grieve? Even now, God reminds us that this work is not done. There is more to do. God reminds us that as people of faith, we are called to have that steadfast commitment to see the task of justice through to completion. And that has proven, if we've ever read the Bible or history at all, that has proven to take lifetimes. And so we cannot rest. We must be strong and courageous to continue to fulfill the vision that God has for our world. And I wonder if that's how we can hear the words of the song, "I Can See Clearly Now." When I was thinking of this song and of the scripture of Joshua being right on the edge of the promised land and it all being laid before him, I kind of had this, you know, kind of sunny attitude about it all. All right, the Israelites are at the promised land. It's good now. All shall be well. And then I started digging a little bit deeper and being reminded of the stories that the work was not done there at the promised land. And I thought, well, maybe I chose the wrong song. Maybe it is too upbeat, too optimistic, too Pollyanna. I tried to find some information about Johnny Nash and why he would have written this song, "I Can See Clearly Now." And really all I found was that he wrote it as he was coming out of a surgery. And if any of you have had surgery, you know that the end of the surgery is not the end of the journey, right? There is so much more to be done in recuperation and rehabilitation. And so I wonder, as Johnny Nash sings these songs, "I Can See Clearly Now," "The Rain Is Gone," as he sees the obstacles in his way, he knows that he has the strength and courage to face them. And so do we as people of faith, with God behind us, pushing us evermore towards that arc of history. And it's hard work. And as much as we need icons like Martin Luther King Jr., John Lewis, Reverend Gil Caldwell, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, we also need each other. Because it's together that we're able to bend that arc. I read a poem this week by Debbie Parvin called "Courage." With Goliath's might, you slice the air with needle sword, race with monstrous wrath, defend your claim to ruby water hanging like a vial of blood in summer's sweetened air. Yet you are more like David, dwarf among the feathered flock, a thimble bug, so slight that when you light upon the willow's leaf, it does not move. Still, God has chosen you, the most unlikely, fitted you with sequined garb and fashioned beater wings to bear you 800 miles each year to prove, though life may tower giant like around us, we the minuscule can rise, can hum. I pray these have been the words of the Lord for us this day. Amen.